Hey, welcome back, friends. Happy New Year. I hope the new year is wonderful for all of us and a big change in the direction that humanity is going with the awakening that's in progress now. The rulers are trying to hang on to their genocidal direction with another fake pandemic that's being rolled out in the US today and other places, and some kind of I don't know what some doctors think is a contact poison that's making people sick to justify it. I don't know. States of emergency are being prepared, and they're trying to do another forced vaccine and lockdown thing, which hopefully people won't fall for this time. So we're looking for a much better response in this particular case. And we're with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, our friend in Israel, who's got some insights about history repeating itself in the Middle East, which would be very interesting to get a hold of. While in the West, we're dominated by stories of the attempted major war in Ukraine, Gabriel's more in touch with what's going on in the Middle East. So welcome, Gabriel, and let us know what you're seeing.
Well, thank you, Richard, and I give my blessings to everyone for a wonderful, healthy, happy, and peaceful New Year.
Amen.
And amen. And of course, it's the inner peace that makes the difference. That's what makes it peaceful, because whatever is happening on the outside, if you're at the inner peace, then that's really what the New Year's about, keeping that inner peace.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about Middle East history repeating itself and for at least the last 3,000 years. Okay? So it's a little redundant. But given that, let's go for a second, let's do a little bit of dance to get that spiritual joy going, because that's part of what makes it really work in this world, is to keep the spiritual joy happening for all of us. So I ask everybody to join in with a little bit of dance. It's a little cold here, so I have a vest on here to keep it soft. But I think we're okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, so just focus on my eyes. We're going to meditate just for a moment here. Just feel that awakening energy. Okay, slowly come out of meditation. And we're going to take a look at the Middle East starting at least 3,000 years ago. That's pretty far back. And at that time, there was a place called Gaza. And at that time, there's a place called roughly Canaan, which is Israel today. And in Gaza, you had the Philistines, which today's Palestinians aren't related to genetically, but are related to in the archetypical energy that they're playing out. So what used to be in those times? Well, pretty much the outlines of Gaza as we see it, and the Philistines would do these raids where they would get the bordering towns. Sounds familiar, because that's exactly what happened on October 7th. And kill and mutilate and do all these things. Like, you know, chopping people's heads off, raping the women, and then bring people back as captives as well, and prisoners and captives. That sounds like something new, but it's not new. That's what was going on then. And there was a continual battle going on. And you had some pretty heavy duty Philistines. How about Goliath? Well, that happened 3,000 years ago. That young boy, David, who was the only one with courage, whereas King Saul didn't have the courage to do this, even though he was like 6'5 or something. He was pretty big. He got this young kid who was, I don't know, 15 or 16, like a teenager, willing to fight Goliath, and he beat him. Goliath throws a big spear, it's like, you know, that big, and, you know, David just goes like that and goes past him. And David is not a slouch. Even as a teenager, he actually had killed a lion with his bare hands. So it's like, he's a young boy, but he's pretty good. He actually broke the lion's jaw and killed him, and because the lion was attacking his sheep. And so he has his sling, and he hits Goliath in the forehead with it, knocks him out, and then gets his sword, which is pretty big, and chops his head off. And at which point, all the Philistines run away. But there, where did this happen? It happened in Gaza. Okay, that's the key I'm trying to make. So this constant battle, 3,000 years ago, our typical energies that people fit into is still going on. And then you have, Saul, who's also, and his sons are killed by the Philistines in battle. And David takes over and is able to defeat them. And then you have Samson. Samson was also fighting against the Philistines, and they captured him, and they blinded him. Oh, gee whiz, you mean they mutilated him? Oh, where have we heard that before? Yeah, October 7th. So what's my point? So they blinded him, but something interesting happened with Samson. They wanted to show him off. Oh, where did we hear that before? Oh, yeah, all the captives, including the dead nude women who they had raped, were being paraded in Gaza. October 7th. That's pretty recent. How about 3,000 years ago, Samson gets paraded, and he's blinded. But they forgot something. Even though his hair had been cut and he lost his power, he asked God for one blessing to give him his power back. And he did something with the pillars, and this whole place where they were showing him off, their big victory, and there was about 3,000 Philistines, and he broke the pillars, and the ceiling came down on everybody and killed about 3,000 people. Where did we get the number 3,000? Okay, how many people, active warriors, I'm not talking about all of the so-called innocent bystanders that also came and raped and pillaged on October 7th, but initially, the estimates are about 3,000 armed warriors came in. 3,000. So we're repeating that number again. Only it's going back the other way. Instead of 3,000 Philistines being killed, you have 3,000 soldiers coming in and slaying and killing people. So I'm making a point about the numbers because we are looking at an energetic replayment of what's going on. So this battle 3,000 years ago with Samson and David and King David and then King Saul and his sons and then David, this battle has been going on. And the exact same thing. The Philistines would come into the Israeli border towns, just like we saw on October 7th. They would capture people. They'd rape and they'd pillage and do what they're doing, take people back as captives. That's going on 3,000 years ago. Guess what? That's what we saw October 7th, still being played out. So this battle between the Philistines, now not genetically related, but the Palestinians, and Israel has been going on for, 3,000 years. We hear the mythology. I just want to bring it to reality. This was all happening in Gaza. And where was it happening? It's a place called Gaza City, which was the headquarters of the Philistines. So I look at this thing and I think, oh my God, people are still playing this out. This has not been resolved. And it could be that prophetically this is going to go on till we hit the 1,000 years of peace. It's just like whatever energy there is, this is like, and then we'll end when we hit the 1,000 years of peace, which as of 2025, in the spring, we will begin a 50-year cycle into the 1,000 years of peace, according to prophecy. So we're hopefully coming to the end of this incredible tragedy of people attacking each other you know, raping, murder, pillage, beheading, and all these things. But I want to draw the exact parallel. That's what I want people to get, okay? The parallel. People crossing the border, they're capturing people, raping, pillaging, holding people prisoners, just like we saw on October 7th. And so there's an archetypical energy. And the sad thing, as I look at it, is I don't see it ending anytime soon. If you look at the statements in the Hamas charter, their charter isn't like we want better land or we want this. No, it is to destroy all Jewish people, not just in Israel, but around the world. That's what they say. I'm not exaggerating. You can look it up. It's very, very clear. And that's their goal. Now, it won't work. It has never worked for 3,000 years. And it's not about to work now. In fact, it's really going to go the other way. But doesn't mean they're stopping. So people think Hamas has been wiped out. Well, according to reports yesterday from someone in the CIA, something came in the news, they already have 18,000 new recruits who are in battle, who are armed and in battle. They're not very well trained. And it's just like, it's very sad to know all these men are going to be killed, you know, because they're not trained and they're not very well armed. What they are armed is with hate. And that's the problem with hate. It doesn't get you very far. That is a big problem. And it hasn't worked for 3,000 years, and it's still not going to work. But what I'm looking at as I talk about it is it's almost archetypical going on, this battle. And the you've heard of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Well, most people have. And those colors, the white, the black, the green, no, I can't remember the other color, but those are the colors of the Hamas flag. Okay? That's not an accident. What is going on in the Middle East is an archetypical replaying of thousands of years. And I honestly don't understand why it keeps going. So I kind of step back a second and say, whoa, this defies common sense. And then we start looking at the energies behind us. And in a sense, it was red. Red, white, green, and black, okay? The colors of the flag. And the word, what does the word Hamas mean? So at the time of Noah, it meant chaos. Terrorism. Time of Noah is a few thousand, you know, more than 3,000 years ago. And it hasn't changed. So there are this archetypical energy that's behind Hamas. Some people call it the dragon energy. Okay? And the dragon wants to eat and destroy humanity. You know, in this case, the maiden, Israel is the maiden. These are archetypical energies. I didn't make them up. This is what is seen. And you see all these pictures, the dragon trying to attack the maiden and so forth. And it's like, this is really going on. Now, it's been since Adam and Eve, right? Who comes? But the serpent person or the dragon and this battle is going on. So we have thousands of years of the maiden and the serpent and the seduction, but also the absolute destructive energies going on. And so what we're seeing are forces of the dragon, okay, which is Hamas. The Philistines also, at that time, 3,000 years ago, versus the maiden. And so what we see in the Middle East, and probably if we look closely around the world, is this constant battle, you know, of the forces of darkness. You know, Richard was mentioning about, you know, more false plagues and poisons, and this is all darkness. And so this battle's going on all over the world. It's kind of more archetypical in this Middle East setting because it's so blatant. Because you can't miss it. And, you know, just today in Israel, I mean, it's every day. You know, people were very upset about what happened in New Orleans, where a Hamas-type person, you know, drove his truck, his white pickup truck, okay, which is somehow a Hamas insignia, into people, killed, shot, and so forth. Okay. Well, today, you know, almost every day in Israel, not just today, some, I don't know if they're Hamas, but, you know, some people in Samaria killed three grandmothers who were driving in a car. They shot and killed them. And then they shot at a bus that passed by and wounded somebody. And it's like, it's every day here. It's not occasionally and people get all upset. It's every day. So there's a constant aggression. And of course, you don't have people very happy about it. It's like, you know, the pressures of the world governments are, you know, don't respond too heavily. Don't really fight back. You know, fortunately, they did fight back in Gaza, and I think you're going to see Judea and Samaria. This is a big deal. You know, when you're killing grandmothers, you know, driving on a road that's not, it wasn't a Hamas road, okay? Just doesn't sit well. I don't know what the result will be, but it's not going to be a good result. So this aggression is now spreading in Judea, Samaria. It's been there, but it's getting more open. And still, they're holding back. Israeli army is, you know, they're not really going after these people. I mean, yes, they're searching for these three guys, okay? That's not really what's going on. But the point I'm making is, these are areas of real hostility. You know, I worked with Black Gangs in the South Side of Chicago, and for 2 years, no one got killed. Generally, people were getting killed all over, but there was some purpose and meaning in people's lives. The day I left, 8 people got killed because it's normal that people are shooting each other. Until recently, the statistics suggested that more people are killed in 1 month in the South Side of Chicago, which is where I was working, than in a year in Israel. Just to give you perspective. Now it's getting a little bit more out of hand. But the point I'm making is, this kind of aggression towards people, it's amplifying in the world. You know, it isn't just in the Middle East. I mean, you obviously look at Ukraine and Russia and maybe 110 different locations around the world. I mean, more than 500,000 people killed in Syria when Assad was in control. You know, people are killing each other all over the place. And it's not getting much attention. But there, as I said, there's at least 110 different civil war type things happening around the world. This is very serious. So the world is in this intense chaos with each other. And people have kind of lost track of what life is about. And the only meaning seems to be getting back at the other person. this doesn't take us anywhere except more cruelty, more misery, and more death. So we're looking at a kind of a crisis in the world. I'm hoping it doesn't resolve into World War III. And I know there are forces working really, really hard to make that happen. And fortunately, I think there are forces working really, really hard not to have World War III as well. But there are people who see that there's an advantage to having World War III because at the end of that, then there's a promise that we're going to fix this with a one world government, which would be in a worse situation. So we're looking at this crisis beginning to peak. And I think in 2025 will be hopefully maybe a turning point going the other way. Because I believe people are figuring out what's going on and realizing maybe I don't want to participate in that. So what's the option? The option is don't play. The option is call it for what it is and do our best to wake people up not to be acting, to be caught in this act of reactive death cult that is going on. That's our option. And, you know, we can turn it around and say, let's talk about love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's good, but at least let's not participate in the death cult. So there's a few places we can be, you know, and begin to no longer support that way of being and create enough social consciousness where people no longer see that as a way to approach things. And I look at the Middle East, but we look at Ukraine, and I don't know exactly between Russia and Ukraine. I don't know what's true and what isn't, but maybe 500,000 Russians have been killed and 200,000 Ukrainians. I mean, that makes the Middle East look very small in terms of what's going on. But it's concerning that all this is going on. And the real question is, how do we stop it? We can say everybody can love each other, that's good, but and that's, of course, the end point of it. But we have to get to a place where war isn't an option. And that's where I'd like to start. And then we can build about, you know, peace and love and joy. So I throw it out to people that it's up to us to say this is not acceptable anymore. This is not a level of living in the world that is acceptable for any civilization. I'm going to turn it back to Richard, see what you have to say about that.
I really agree with your bottom line that this is not acceptable and humanity has to come to that point. I think it's important to realize that there are no good guys in the governments and the forces in the world that I see right now working through politics. Like the U.S. government has been behind a lot of the atrocities. The Israeli government has been hideous, and the atrocities committed by their forces don't get reported, but they're massive as well. And the Israeli government was behind the creation of Hamas, and I think they're largely responsible for the October 7th being allowed to happen. But given that, the response going back and forth, one side hating the other and wanting to, you know, even in their religious backgrounds, we're taught that God wants us to have victory by killing the other side. That whole paradigm has to be over, and we need a new understanding and a new consciousness. And you know, I look at the history that you mentioned of the world for the last not just 3,000, but many more thousand years before that. And it's a complete atrocity. I mean, if there is a definition of the word abomination, I'd say human history fills it pretty well. And it reminds me a lot of what happens on the lower astral region for people who have seen that. It's just constant division and hatred and conflict and killing and torture and all of that stuff, as you say, has to become unacceptable. and people have to not go along with it. So whether it's the war in all these countries that's being promoted as a bottom line business and extermination plan, or the new fake pandemic that's coming to the U.S. and much of the world now, you have to say no and not participate. And I think the reason for that is that there is a spirit of love that you talked about that is in everybody on all sides, regardless of the insanity, whether they're playing the role of bad guys or good guys or whatever. It's the real self inside has forgotten who they are, and it needs to wake up and remember. And that can change history.
I just want to add, where I live, we all shop at the same mall, okay?
Yes.
And the Arabs and the Jews get along. Everybody smiles, everybody's nice. You go in the shops and, you know, the Arab, you know, mostly Muslim, not all, but mostly Muslim. People are very nice. And so it's really possible, is what I'm saying, because I see it all the time. That people really can easily get along. I know that's a commercial setting, but doesn't matter. It's still, people get along, people smile, people joke with each other. So it's immediately possible because I see it happen all the time.
I agree. That's just a normal condition.
Yeah. You know, good. That kind of, I don't know if it gives me hope. I don't approach it as an issue of hope. I just know I see it happen. I know it's more than it's possible. It's happening. That people, the governments would just step back from their agendas and the people above them from their agendas and their war agendas and their profit agendas. People kind of more naturally get along.
Yes, absolutely. And even the worst of the criminals in the governments and corporations and deep state organizations can wake up and remember who they are. And if they do that, they stop participating. They become a force for good.
Right, that's my point. So we have people who are Muslim and Arab. Not all Arabs are Muslims. You have Christian Arabs too. People work together. I mean, I remember once, I don't know exactly what happened in my car, but it got really strange. I had an electric car. It just stopped. It was like 10 o'clock at night. Two of the people who were watchmen who were Arab came out, and everybody worked together and they helped. We fixed it. One guy got his car and jump started it, and we did it. But, you know, it took about an hour of futzing around. But everybody's cooperating. Everybody's really nice. So it's not like it's a natural thing that everybody should be hostile.
No, it's the opposite. People are fighting for their beliefs, and if they drop all the beliefs, what's left is the reality, which is that everybody comes from the same source.
Yeah. In this case, let's jumpstart the car and get the car going.
Right. Exactly.
And it'd be working together in a very cooperative way. I'm the only one in the parking lot. It's been stuck. I've been futzing with it for an hour. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's all there. Kindness is there. Generosity is there. Naturally.
It's the only thing that is natural. It's the reality. And, you know, it's so simple. Everybody's just trying to find a way to feel good. And they got diverted and thinking that the high that they get from hurting other people is the only thing they can do to feel good. And they lost touch with who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they, you know, in a sense, the definition of who you are is hating somebody, which is not exactly a positive definition.
No. If all the mental chatter gets dropped and all the belief systems get dropped and people just get silent and in touch with what's inside, then the reality comes out.
So that's the work, in a way, is that we have to hold that kind of expectation, standard, and level of behavior in spite of all that's going on.
That's right. That's the test.
But we also have to be realistic. You should pay attention walking down the street. It's like I did when I lived in Chicago or lived in Central Harlem. Still pay attention. You know, you're not like mindless, you know, because when you walk like that, you do draw trouble to yourself.
Right. No, you have to be careful in this environment.
Yeah. And that's normal. It doesn't mean you're angry or you're looking for a fight or you're worried. You're just paying attention. So I think that's a kind of a slight, you know, key difference.
Each person has to get to the point where they get so in touch inside that it starts affecting other people too.
Yeah. Well, that's, yes, for sure. And a lot of people I know, you know, are trying to stay out of the way, which is good. They aren't really bearing a grudge, but they're being careful. You don't necessarily go driving unless you live in Judaism. You don't go on a hike there, you know. That doesn't work out so well necessarily.
No.
So you have to use common sense too. I'm not meaning people should be naive.
It's a matter of questioning everything too that we're told. And we're taught that we're given a definition of who's bad and that they have to be killed. And that's the way to resolve things, and there's another way.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest, I don't get that definition where I live. You know. The definition I get is much more, I mean, among everybody, okay, Arabs, Palestinians, Jews, Christians, is an effort to be nice to each other.
Yeah, sounds like you live with some more awake people.
Well, no, it's just regular people. You know, a ton of, I don't know, 50,000 people, and they're regular people. And the shopping mall, there's people from all over. Like, it's a long walk, but there's at the bottom of the hill, there's one Arab village, and then there's another one when we go 10 minutes down the road, there's another big Arab village, and people are nice, you know. It's not like you feel endangered. People just want to live their lives. I mean, we have to kind of be aware of that people are so different. They really aren't looking to cause trouble. Now, if you grow up like people in Gaza, and this is kind of the reality I've heard over and over again, that from the age of three, you're taught to, you know, hate Jews, is that, you know, you're going to have an attitude. I mean, there'd be something wrong with you if you didn't. And if you don't have that attitude, you get yourself in real trouble. You know? And so this program is very real. And it's very common in many societies that that's the way people kind of program themselves. And then there's people who stand above it. There's a guy who, I think his father started Hamas. His father's in jail. And he's, I can't remember his name, it's Hussein, somebody. And he's kind of broke with the whole thing. And from as an insider, he's making commentary of what farce the whole thing is. You know what I'm talking about? He's, you know,
just vaguely.
Yeah, and he's really good, but he gets it. You know, he gets how he was programmed. He gets how when he stopped being programmed, he couldn't really live in Gaza. and actually couldn't really live in Israel, you know, when he lives in the United States now, because his brothers, literally, his family rejected him, and and so society would like to eliminate him, literally. And so he moves in different circles, you know. But he has an understanding of both sides. And he really gets it. I've got to remember his name. But he's out there speaking a lot, you know. So I just mentioned it because there are people who do really rise above it, no matter what their conditioning is. He just kind of knew in a deep way, and it just got him in lots of trouble that he had to leave that society because he saw through it. And so there are people like him who are like an exception, but there's a lot of people who actually see through it, but they're afraid to do what he did.
Right, exactly.
And that's the more people step up and say, I'm not playing, this is really destructive, the more we're going to kind of move away from these kind of behaviors.
We're going to get a big chance for that with the pandemic that they're just starting in the U.S. now, too. Same thing.
Yeah. I'm a little skeptical that they're going to be able to get that off the ground. They're putting a lot of PR into it, but I'm a little skeptical that that's going to work.
Yeah.
People really already got burdens. And what they're putting into the injections there, it's a concern. And if you notice the statistics with the COVID, I think only 10% of the people who got the first injection agreed to get a second injection. And even less for a third injection. It's too deadly. People saw that.
Yeah, more people are figuring out that there's no benefit.
Well, that's a kind way of saying it. It's dangerous. What do you mean no benefit? There's over 55 different toxins in the injection, and so it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And you die from it. And people got it. How many people do you have to see die, you know, post-injection to get that idea?
Their estimates that about 35 million people so far have been killed by those shots.
Yeah. So worldwide.
Right.
So people do get it. It's not people are totally, you know, when your life is at stake, you kind of listen a little bit. So I don't think it's going to work. I don't think they're going to get away with it. Well, I know they're not going to get away with it. They may get some temporary power. It's going to be very temporary. And also the prophecy says that too. So I'm optimistic in the big picture. Anyway, as we start the new year, may everyone be blessed with deep inner joy, deep inner peace, and with an open heart to see the spark of God in all people. And peace prevails.
Yes.
And thank you, Richard. Thank you, Doug, for your good work.
We have an opportunity now with the new year to come from a completely different place, and I think it's in line with the spirit of the programs that you're running, Gabriel. And world peace is analogous to inner peace, and that's where it comes from. One of the main reasons that this atrocity of history has been able to happen is that we have no idea of the power that's inside one individual.
Yes. The positive power, yes. It's good.
You're right. So anyway, let's make it a different new year in line with who we really are and not fall for the programming and not fall for the pandemic in the U.S. or anywhere else in the world. It's actually just not in the U.S. It's in China and Japan and other places in the world now, too. They're trying to roll it out as the final stepping stone to world government and extermination plan. And people have to just say no. And remember that virology is just based on complete hoax at this point. There's nothing substantial to it. And when they try to roll it out, don't take part. Beware of the vaccines and everything that goes with it. And with the don't support war in any form. Harmony and peace is the way for humanity to survive and get to the next step. So this is a good year to do it. And we invite everybody to come along and we'll work on it with you. So take care. Have a great year. Thanks for being here. And we really appreciate you. And you're the hope for the world. Be who you are. And we'll do it together. Take care.
Thank you all for attending and supporting our work. And keep sharing it with everybody around you.
Absolutely. So.
And thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Gabriel and Doug. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.